The song that we just sang, Joy to the World. I think it's one of the most beloved Christmas songs of the entire year. And what we just sang, one of the great lines, contains this refrain. And heaven and nature sings. And heaven and nature sings. Now, my question to you is this. What do you think about that line? Heaven and nature sings. Now, I suppose that this hymn writer might have in mind the heavenly host of angels, maybe, when he mentions heaven. And that makes, I think, some sense. We heard last week maybe even about angels singing praises. But what about all this nature business? What about calling upon nature to sing? That doesn't make sense. What is it about calling upon nature to sing about the coming of Jesus? It's not even really in about this hymn in particular that talks about nature singing. It kind of echoes that very first psalm that we began our service with, that reading from the book of Psalms. It was Psalm 148. And just as the composer, this writer of this hymn, calls upon heaven and nature to sing, so too does that writer of the psalm. It calls upon every creaturely thing to praise God. Not just angels, not just people, but everything in creation is to praise God with joy. So how do we make sense of that? Why does this psalm writer issue a call for all creation to praise God? Or maybe to put it bluntly, why should we praise God? Or why should all creation praise God? Well, before we answer that question, we have to maybe ask another question that points us in the right direction. It's pretty basic, but I think it's pretty profound. Why did God create the universe in the first place? You ever wonder those big questions? Why did God create all this? Have you ever thought of that? Why did God create such a wondrous array of life on earth? Now some people say, well, it wasn't God, it was evolution, or it was a random chance. I don't buy it, to be honest. It's just too complex, too vast. So give me the benefit of the doubt. Let's acknowledge that God did create, design all these things that we see. But why? Well, maybe the best answer may be that we find in this little book. I know that a few of you have been training to teach on Luther's Small Catechism. Now, when we study this, we study the Apostles' Creed. One of those statements of belief that we confess. We're going to do it today in our worship. And in the Apostles' Creed, there's a section that I think helps us. It's in the first article, the first section of the Apostles' Creed. It talks about creation. There, it exclaims that God creates simply out of his fatherly divine goodness and mercy. Without any merit or worthiness in me. You see, God creates not because of the inherent goodness of you or me or the beauty of the world, but God creates simply out of his fatherly divine goodness. It's just what he is and who he is. In other words, God creates because he loves. Think of it maybe in your own life. Think of some things that you might have made on your own. Why did you do that? Why would you make something? It's love. You think of it. You love making that thing. You love maybe the person you're going to give it to. God loves life. God loves life, and God lavishes life on what we call this blue marble we call earth. He loves the diversity of life. He loves the beauty of life. And I think that is one of the things that helps us be reminded that God did do all of this. When you look at something and see beauty, you can see the hands of God. When you see something that works the way it's supposed to work, you can see the hands of God. When you see the diversity of every single creature, plants, insects, amphibians, reptiles, birds, mammals of every kind, living on the land and living in the waters, you can think of the hands of God. God loves life. God loves the diversity of life, and God loves the beauty of life. He even loves the sounds of life, especially the sounds that we sing. Now, if you're like me, it doesn't matter if we're a good singer. God loves the simple fact that you're trying to sing. So take credit with that. God loves pizzazz. And if you don't think he likes pizzazz, consider maybe even the dazzling array of creatures that he has made. From the bluegill swimming in Rock Lake, or the emperor penguin down in the South Pole, or the whooping crane that we see every spring or fall, to the giraffe out in Africa or the zoo, not to mention the humans and our ability to imitate weakly, maybe, God's creativity by the way that we produce music or that we make art. And because God loves all that he has made, he declares 6 times in Genesis chapter 1 that it's good. And then with a final declaration on that day that he looks on everything and it's very good. We might even say that God is wildly enthusiastic about what he has just made. He's proud of this creation. He's proud of everything in this creation, including you. He then rests and delights on it, sitting back on the 7th day, taking it all in. As one of the other Psalms puts it, you may rejoice over your manifold works. On that Sabbath day, on that day of rest, God smiles and rejoices over his work. Then God says, it is very good, and with his words, it resounds throughout all creation. Some have suggested that when we praise God, it's our creaturely answer to the love of God. When we praise God simply, we're showing love back to God. Creation's praise becomes an echo of that love. So imagine something like this. God says something is very good. And we, as his creation, rises up and sings in response, as Lutherans maybe, yes, life is very good indeed. Amen. In this way, creation's praise of God. It becomes an echo of God's love. When we do as we are created to do and to be, we are echoing back to God the love that he first gave us. We draw attention back to the work of God. We draw our attention back to our Creator. When we simply be and act and perform and love the way that we are created to be. Now, how exactly does creation, all of what has been made, how exactly do we do that? Well, like I said, It's by simply being what God has intended you to be. Yeah. Creatures, you and I, we praise God by doing what we have been given to do. We be good men. We be good women. We be good fathers. We be good mothers. We be good children. We be good workers. Perhaps maybe even consider this analogy. When we give somebody a gift, let's say for Christmas, how do we know that that person actually appreciated the gift? That's always a wonder for me. How do we know if the person's going to like what we give them? I don't think it's simply only by a person saying thank you, because they might not actually mean it. But I think it's more about the person making use of the gift that really counts. If they simply put your present in a closet, never to use it, or maybe even worse, maybe they repurpose the gift by giving it to somebody else, we would sense that that gift was probably not worth a whole lot to them. So when creatures, when you and I live as God intended us to be and to live, we give praise to God and we honor God. So now notice how this psalm in the Bible, the psalm writer, calls upon the entire expanse of creation to praise God. He calls them to be what God has made them to be. Birds. Praise God by being birds. Elephants by being elephants. Dolphins by being dolphins. Chipmunks by being chipmunks. And so on and so on. And as each and everything in creation does so, praise goes forth in action and sound. Throughout creation, the sound of music, if you will, is heard in rhythms and melodies. Think of creation as a symphony or a choir with all its various voices and instruments. Now, when we turn to the psalm that we began our worship with, Psalm 148, the writer of that psalm from the Bible begins with water. Oceans, seas, lakes, rivers. Then we hear about humpback whales singing, otters splashing, waves crashing onto the shore. All very creaturely things that you wouldn't expect to hear about. Then the psalm writer moves on to the air, the creatures that move along the sky. Here we find the howling of the wind, the cracking of lightning, rain splashing on the ground, and the thumping of hail. All very creaturely things that we tend to ignore. In addition, we hear owls hooting, hummingbird wings beating in the air, wrens trilling, cranes bugling. Then the songwriter moves to the land. We hear elephants trumpeting, horses snorting, dogs barking, cats meowing, chipmunks chirping. Then the crunch of snow beneath our feet, and rhythms, heartbeats maybe, of all creatures, beating, lungs, inhaling, and exhaling. All of these things are in response to God's love in creation. Some of the simplest things that we don't even look to are what God delights in. So let's turn back to that psalm for a moment and consider the sequence of everything listed here. Psalm moves from the heavens to the earth. In verses 7 through 14, it deals with the earth and its inhabitants now. We talk about humans. And if you haven't noticed in the Bible, humans usually come last. It was on the sixth day of creation that people were made, after all the animals. Here again in the Psalms, after talking about all the different things in the air, in the oceans, and on the land, people finally come last. Now why might that be? Maybe The psalm writer saved the best for last. We might be proud about our creatureliness. Maybe humans are the most noble of creatures. We might guess. We're the smartest, we're the best. But if that were the case, why wouldn't people be up at the top where the angels were described? Or maybe it is possible that the Bible scholar that wrote this, maybe it's that humans come last in God's lists because people are the most reluctant to offer praise to God. After all the different things in the world do as they are supposed to do, humans, the crown of creation, are the least willing to give praise back to God. People are the ones most resistant to living as God intended people to live, as God envisions. And so people have to be encouraged. People might even have to be cajoled into doing what God wants people to do. People prefer self-adulation rather to praising God. We want to praise ourselves before we praise God. Animals don't do that sort of thing. So why do we? If we're supposed to be the crown of creation, why do we desire to be at the center? Well, when we do those things, when we constantly forget about praising God, what happens is, worst of all, that the music of creation that we just described in its entirety, the music of God's symphony of creation, it sometimes becomes interrupted. We, as people, made in the image of God, sometimes even silence God's creation. And regardless of who we put the blame on, whether it's global warming, whether it's this or that, we are at fault. You might say our sin led us to silencing God's creation, silencing praise. A silence that would return before creation had order. We turn praise into groaning instead. Now, we may not be aware that this is taking place in our world, especially when we see the beauty still in the world. Or maybe that we become accustomed to the way that we function in our lives. We no longer notice what we do. Songs of delight and laughter among God's creatures often turn into screams of pain and cries of sorrow by war and disease. We might hear it simply in the whimpering of a child hungry for food. Or the sobbing of a woman when she encounters her husband is dead. Voices of praise in our life are often turned into voices of criticism, hate. Voices of thanks are often turned into grumbling and complaining for things that we lack. We hear it in the creaking of our joints when we age. And it's not just among humans that the silencing of praise occurs. The songs of the ivory-billed woodpeckers, the great auks, the passenger pigeons, and the like are no longer heard today because they're now extinct because of the role of humans in this world. People have created entire species of things created on this world to never walk, never fly in this world again. They have had their chairs in the orchestra taken away, denying them places to live out in the lives in this world. More often than not, we drown out the songs of whales with the rumblings of our machines, the chirping of birds with the roar of our engines, And when we don't want to hear the noises of our machines, we plug our ears with something else. We put in our earbuds or our headphones in order to turn and tune out the world and allow us to live within our own little worlds with just the right music that we want to hear. There are fewer voices in this choir of creation than there were in the past. And here we are dealing with an innocent creation, a creation that suffered the curse at the hands of human beings. And most frighteningly, we see, even in our gospel readings in the Bible, there's always attempts to silence creation's praise. Remember, even in the gospel according to John, it says that God came to his own, but his own did not receive him. And that's what we witness going on throughout the story of Christmas. When Jesus was born, in his day and age, King Herod, the man in power at the time, heard that a king of the Jews had been born. He could have maybe welcomed such an event. But instead he set out to kill his perceived rival by killing all the infants that had been born at that time. Every single infant in the region of Israel, Nazareth, Galilee, and Bethlehem, every single infant, year two and younger, was slaughtered, killed. Every baby, boy and girl, was killed by King Herod out of fear. We call it the slaughter of the innocents. And when we tend to think about the warmth and the best parts of Christmas, of Jesus being born, we tend to forget about the cruel acts surrounding this time of the year. The joy of mothers and fathers for the gift of new life was turned into cries over grief over the dead bodies of their babies. Their children's voices had been silenced when the greatest of things was born in this world. Joseph and Mary had to pack their bags and flee to Egypt for their lives. Now think of the tragic irony. The Son of God, who had given life to all, now had to flee for his very own life by the people out to get him. God's own Son now needed protecting from the very human creatures that he had brought into existence. So, when we read these stories from the Bible, when this psalm provides an interesting contrast, the non-human creation offers up its praise. In spite of our sin, in spite of all the ugliness that we bring in our world, all the destruction, all the silencing of creation, creation still continues to praise God. That same creation that we live in still praises God and looks forward to God coming back. If you look in the Bible, even in the Old Testament even, Isaiah talks about the trees clapping at their arrival of God. Paul in the New Testament speaks of creation groaning in anticipation for God to redeem things. And creation leads the way in praise. We, of all people who need to be encouraged to praise God. And there is hope. There is hope for us still. The hope for all creation, even. Although we had given God nothing but trouble, and pretty much trouble from the day that we were born, God has not washed his hands of us or his creation. God's not done with us. God does not let what he has made go to waste. Put it in a closet or re-gift it to somebody else. God does not let death be the final word. And thus, God does not let silence fill his creation. No matter how hard we try to make the opposite. The entire history of the Bible, the entire human history that we live in, since Christ died and rose for us, shows us that there is limitless patience of the Creator, that He continues to bother us with this world at all. And in Christ, He has set out to restore this creation by first restoring the creatures who caused Him the most trouble. You and me. Jesus even says that we are of far greater value than the sparrows. Think about that. God loves you more than all the wonders of this world. Even though we mess things up countless times, God loves you more than all the other things that He has created. Because you still are the crown of His creation. No matter how many times you mess up, more than the whales, more than the birds, more than all the precious and colorful jewels found within the earth, more than Yosemite, more than anything, God loves you. And that's why He continues to give us Himself. God loves us. God loves you even more than He loves His beloved creation. And so there's the wonder. Being rejected time and again by His human creatures, even being hunted by His human creatures, He will still grow up in order to redeem and to rescue those same human creatures. And so, as God's creation, we have all the more reason to offer God our praise. And the praise of God's human creatures has begun to arise once again. There's a very famous theologian, St. Thomas Aquinas, and he once suggested that no one creature could exhaust the goodness of God. And so that is why the world is filled with so many wonderful creatures. And so the entire creation resounds with sound. That's why we have this hymn today. Joy to the world. When we're busy about watching the clock, when we're busy about being impatient about God to return, God fills you with joy, reminding you of reasons to have joy. And even heaven and nature sings. So until Christ comes again once more, make sure that you continue to make music. Because that's exactly where God sees beauty coming from you. And make sure you make music for the other people in your lives. And so, continue to make this song, continue to ring out. Let heaven and nature sing. Let heaven and nature sing. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.